Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
There is the man of the moment, John Daly.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
I fly this 236 yards.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
When I'm drunk.
And Brandon Spray.
Sober, it's about 220.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Let Uncle John take care of that.
Dirt and Spray on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Happy Camel. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hello.
What is happening?
Good morning. How are we feeling?
Dude, feeling delightful. Yeah. How good? This might be the oldest thing I've said in a while. You know where I'm going.
I know where you're going.
How good did that rain feel last night?
Nice little summer thunderstorm.
Oh, dude, it was so fun last
rolling
night.
Rolling thunderstorm.
All the kids are out in the neighborhood. The sky just opened up. The thunder's booming. God, it was a perfect night last night.
I just was glad it held off till the Hops game was over because we had the umpires radioing up in between one of the half innings. Somebody thought they saw a bolt of lightning somewhere.
Uh-oh. They probably did.
Uh-oh. Finish the game.
Everywhere.
You see nothing. It's the seventh inning, all right? We're wrapping this thing up. It's a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
Hop starter gave up two-run home runs in the first and second inning, and I'm like,
come on, let's move this thing along.
I don't need a 45-minute weather delay tonight.
No, we don't need to shut this thing down, all right? Let's get the kids home, get them to bed. There's no lightning. You can't see anything.
It's a funny social media video that went around, I think it might have been a couple weeks ago, if not maybe a month or so ago, and it was a guy in Colorado. And he just filmed himself, and it was like every dad today, and it was because Colorado got hit with like some big rainstorm, and they had like many little floods, and he was just going around in his car, he was walking, he was biking, and it was like supposed to be different versions, and he's like, every dad right now, we needed this.
Yeah.
We needed this.
And
it's funny because I was on my porch, we were watching the thunderstorms, my daughter's starting to record lightning, and I was like, you know, we needed this.
You know,
I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God.
I become that guy.
I become the meme.
That's why the Progressive Becoming Your Parents commercials are so spot on.
It's real.
Every dad said the same exact thing last night. The second the skies opened up and it started raining, you know, it's been a little dry lately. We could have really used this.
We needed this.
But I've been watering my lawn for the last week. It's like 90 degrees, man. Can you help me out a little bit here, Mother Nature?
Can it? Once and for all, get all the pollen out of every tree and off my car and just beat on with it.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad with pollen. I'm glad I don't have allergies.
We're not getting our natural car washes lately. That's why it's nice. It's nice to just rinse everything
off. My car was just parked under some trees for the week at my complex, so I came back.
Now, let me
just
ask you
covered
this.
Completely.
Exactly.
Right. All right, cool.
On the, is it Allstate or is it Progressive?
Progressive.
For the Becoming Your Parents?
Yeah. Allstate's the mayhem guy.
Yeah.
Also, my God, there's a side tangent to my side tangent.
Double tangent. I like it.
When did companies start having two different versions of advertising going on at the same time? We have the Progressive Be Your Parents.
Yes.
And the Progressive
Flow.
And the team.
And the team, yeah.
So like,
I don't know.
When did we start having like two different story arcs of your company?
Does any other company do that you can think of? Or is that unique for Progressive? They make so much money that they can have two different ad campaigns.
Well, isn't Doug in the Limu?
Yes, Liberty.
So is Liberty. Liberty guy.
That is true.
That's true. They
have
good point. They have the people
we
on
have
the
dumb,
park bench.
Hot guy. Okay. And we've got Doug and Emu.
That's right.
So there's two different arcs too. And coincidentally, Liberty.
Liberty, Liberty.
There we go.
That's
both
a good
insurance
point.
Companies. Both
exactly.
I mean, insurance companies are just making money hand over fist.
That's what that tells
unlimited
me.
Unlimited resources for, and then the second you get dinged as a car, like my wife's car got hit a couple weeks ago, and it hasn't been that much of a pain in the ass to deal with. She got hit by a hit-and-run guy in the middle of the night, rammed into the back of the Subaru, just kept driving away. Like, cool, that's awesome, dude. Thanks, man. I can't wait to deal with all of this. But when we first called her insurance company, they gave a, well, you know, if there's two accidents in a short amount of time, your premiums might go up. So you might want to just pay this out of pocket. Oh, it's like, God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Do you want me to tell you to go where the sun doesn't shine?
Yep.
Do you know how much we pay every month in insurance? Do you realize?
Insurance is a scam.
Over the year, how much this cost? You know how many times we've used something for her insurance since I've known her? One time.
Yeah.
And we've been paying those dues every month.
Yep.
So this is what you're going to do. You're going to sit down, shut up. You're going to pay for the fixes on this car. And you're not going to raise the premiums.
So what'd they say when you said that?
I mean, of course they end up doing it. You got to pay your deductible first, which isn't that much. And then it's like, yeah, we're getting everything fixed, whether you like it or not. This is why we have insurance.
So the two story arcs, I'm wondering now when I see these commercials, not that they're like really highly produced, but the budgets to have two story arcs and two different versions of characters to put... You got to be having like movie budgets at this point compared to what the
creative writers,
the entertainment industry
is
getting.
You got to find locations to shoot.
Yes,
it's the whole thing,
you
man.
Mean Jake from State Farm's doing that for less than $2 million a year.
Oh God, no! I'm curious how much he makes. Let me see.
And talk about a guy I'm kind of tired of.
Yeah, I'm really tired of
him. I've reached my point with Jake from State Farm. Like, why couldn't we do? You might not have liked the Danny McBride.
Well, and for State Farm, then they
Michael
keep,
Keegan commercial.
They keep bringing in athletes. Now you got John Bon Jovi.
You got
Mrs.
Steinfeld.
Josh Allen.
I mean, why did I need Jake in that commercial?
Exactly.
He was not necessary in any way.
And now he shows up at every sporting event. He's courtside. He's in his All-State red jacket. And I've been saying this for a while, and I really believe it. I think because the amount of stuff they make him do in appearances and commercials – I wouldn't be stunned if you met, like, his best friend and you found out that he doesn't know who he is anymore. That, like, he legitimately believes
he's the guy.
Jake from State Farm. That's all he has to be all day, every day.
He's taking the identity of Jake from State Farm, and that's just who
just
he is now.
Morphed into him.
My name is now legally Jake, whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, this says he could earn up to $10,000 to $15,000 per commercial appearance and over $2 million this year.
Oh, dude, he's going to make over $2 million.
Guy's making absolute bank.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the things he gets paid to go to.
Right.
Now, maybe people don't agree with this take. The funny part about both those insurance companies is I feel like one of the ad campaigns is significantly better than the other one. Not that I'm a big Doug and Emu guy, but Doug and Emu is way better than Liberty Bibberty Leather Jacket.
Yeah.
And the Becoming Your Parents is a much better ad campaign than Flo.
Yeah,
Flo and the team.
Jamie needs to go.
I'm tired of Jamie. The other ones you don't know anything about. There's like five of them. What are we doing here? And every time you see the Becoming Your Parents ad, you laugh.
You do.
Every time it comes on, you chuckle.
Yeah, there's 11 onions in here, but that's one item. Literally nobody cares.
Literally nobody cares.
Now, I was going to ask you, because I got stuck on the side tangent of
multiple
story arcs for one company and how, I mean, I can't remember the top of my head at a 6 a.m. segment. Did we have this before with another company back in the day?
Back in my day.
Back like on cable television, everybody's
watching TV.
I'm trying to
think, like Geico had all of their funny, you know, say wee all the way home.
And the Gecko.
Yeah, you had the Gecko, and then you had the announcer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm talking about, like, when we were
further back than that.
I don't remember those campaigns being
multi-layered. There might have been ones that were, like, special one-offs, like Gatorade doing a Be Like Mike and then having separate commercials and that being a kind of one-off ad campaign.
There.
But that's different because that wasn't a permanent campaign.
So the original thing I was going to ask
you. Great song, by the way.
What is the most you have become your parent thing that you've realized about yourself that you maybe you're not proud of, but you would admit?
There's a lot. I'm trying to think of the most.
There's a lot?
I mean, yeah, dude, I'm incredibly old.
But like, what parent and what is it?
There's little things like, the thermostat is a key one. The temperature of the thermostat inside the house is a big one.
So is that your mom or your dad?
That was always the dad.
Who are you more like?
My dad for sure.
Yeah, okay.
More than my mom, like if you go to their house, they have air conditioning at their house now and they refuse to use it sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's one of the, like you paid to install this. Aren't you hot and uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And then you know, so that's.
Yeah, they paid how many thousands? They're worried about an extra $20 on the electric.
bucks
bill
on the electric bill, right?
Like, for some comfort.
Do you know how much it costs to put this in? And now it's like 98 degrees. And we have family from Philly that'll come stay with them from time to time, and they complain the entire time they're here because they won't turn it all the way on. And the top floor of their house, it's an old, you know, 1910s built house. It gets incredibly hot in the summer.
I'd imagine.
And they won't turn it on, mainly because my dad will be in the basement, and the air, it'll be like cold in the basement, but upstairs will be hotter than hell, so he won't turn the air conditioning on. For sure, more like him. I'm trying to think of other like quirks. Like gardening is a big one. I don't know how many people garden the level of I do in their mid to upper 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm an avid gardener.
Yeah.
So that's probably one for me.
I think the crazy thing for me is realizing how much like my dad I am.
Yeah.
Knowing I didn't grow up with
it. It wasn't even a part of your childhood. And
I would
have still...
no reference for any of it. And the behavior happens and I'm like,
oh, it's happening.
Like the awkward, weird comments. It's still not as weird as my dad's.
Yeah.
Like it's the generational. My dad would make a comment and it's not even like, oh, that was weird. Why would you say that? It's almost like, my God, why would you say that?
What's the matter with you, dude?
And it's like it's evolved to a slightly more acceptable version of that.
Right.
But it still happens, and people are like, what is wrong with you?
Why would you say that right there,
and
Sprague?
I just think, I don't know, man.
I don't
no
know.
No idea.
It's just in your DNA,
it's who
dude.
I am.
You got it. You got your dad's DNA, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Behavior-wise, the one thing I will say, and I can tell I've passed this to my kids already. So we had, coincidentally, we knew the person, but when I was like probably 6 or 7, mm-hmm. We had a massive break-in in our house.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, they literally destroyed...
Ransacked everything.
They didn't ransack it. They destroyed it. TV was broken in with a hammer. The couches were ripped with knives. Lamps were shattered and knocked over. And it was a disaster.
That'll rattle you.
That'll rattle you. Coincidentally, it ended up being my stepdad.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes the people closest to you...
Yes.
...do the most damage.
You got to keep an eye out.
But that didn't stop the mindset of lockup. And so, like, ever since then, my mom is, like, vigilantly gone around and done the night check lockup thing. And without even, like, thinking about it, I, too, also am every day lock-in, sliding door being blocked, locked. Like, garage door is locked even though you can't get in the garage.
Right. Everything has to be shut down.
Everything is locked. Yeah. It's Fort Knox, man.
Right.
And I've since, like, the last couple of weeks, I've not been consistent. And my daughters have noted this.
They're starting to take.
You know, you didn't do lockup yesterday. We had to do it for you. And I'm like, good.
This is the point.
Good.
This is now flowing further down the hill.
It's gone down.
Now this has been ingrained in you.
Yes,
and you're always going to lock things up.
Yes.
I forgot to lock the front door the other night. Woke up the next day, wife drops it. Hey, front door was unlocked last night.
Well, it happens.
That one's on me. That's
nobody's perfect.
Hey, look, you know, you're allowed to walk around and do a lock check too.
Exactly.
You know, this isn't just one person's job. Why don't we double check each other's work here?
I remember saying when they were like, you didn't do lockup yesterday, we did it for you. And I go, so you did it? And they were like, yeah, we did. And I was like, what are you talking about then?
Then the doors got
locked.
Why do
we need to have the conversation?
What's the issue then?
You did the job. Because there's nothing my daughter's, my oldest especially, there's nothing she hates more than finding out she is in any way me.
Yeah.
She definitely doesn't want to look like
no,
me.
No, it's a fight against
and
it.
And if I joke about it,
tooth
oh my
nail.
God, I am the worst human being of all time.
How dare you, Dad?
You got my eyebrows. What? No, I don't.
No, like, Dad.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I kind of do. Look at the mirror.
And then, like, she's got
picture.
The eyelashes, and I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Your mom doesn't have eyelashes. Guess who does?
Uh-huh, Daddy.
But the thing she doesn't want the most is the personality traits.
Yes.
And she's saying something last night, and my wife goes, you're the same. Because she was complaining about me, and I'm just laying there listening and taking it, and my wife's like, you're the same. And she goes, no, we're not. She's like, listen to what you're talking about. And I just started laughing. And then she's like, no. So she's realizing she's also becoming her parent.
You can fight against it as long as you want. But very rarely are there wins, man. Like there's some areas where I've gone the opposite direction because you guys would openly make fun of me for writing my mortgage payments with a check. I got that from my dad. I was over at their house the other day.
Is he still doing it?
I think they paid off their house. They don't have a mortgage payment.
Well, whatever they're paying.
Dude, so I was at their house the other day. We were walking. My mom wanted to go somewhere, so I walked up. She wanted to buy Teddy a new pair of shoes. I'm like, all right, fine. We'll walk up, go get him a new pair of shoes. And I get there, and they're haggling over a Comcast bill. And which, you know, $200 a month or whatever, because they had to get something new installed, and then somehow it got changed where it became, they didn't send a paper bill. And this was like the controversy of the month of like, I didn't get my paper bill. I don't want to they got enrolled in automatic payments.
Oh yeah.
And
it was like,
I'm not over my dead body. Am I doing automatic payments?
Yeah.
I want to see the bill. Yeah. I'm going to send my check and I'm just standing there listening to this debate. And that used to be me. And I've embraced technology. I've embraced modern things. I used to do my taxes by hand because my dad did his taxes by hand.
That blew me away.
Why am I wasting my time doing this when I could just use, you know, any sort of online resource and they'll do it for you.
Have a person do it or do TurboTax.
You got to pay either way, but it's the time and effort. Now it's like 90 minutes instead of sitting there with a pen and paper trying to draw it all out.
I also, because I've lost track of time due to COVID, I don't think people realize, it's kind of crazy to say this. This was stuff he was doing and telling me about in like 2016.
Oh, I used to stop by OnPoint to pay my mortgage by check every month.
You send a check in for your mortgage?
I don't even have checks anymore. Do you guys have checks?
My wife has some checks just in case. Because we pay
different
people for
stuff. Every once in a while, there's something
it pops
that...
up.
It's a pain in the ass because I don't have them, and there's like twice a year that I'll need to write a check for something.
Or there's something that you can pay automatically, but the fees are so much.
That you'd rather just check it
out. And you're just like, screw you.
Here's
you can get it in the mail.
Yeah, I think... So we have a checkbook just in case. We have a couple things. Like my daughter does horse lessons, so like we
sure,
pay
that's
that
how you
lady
pay it,
a check.
Yeah. And not everybody has Venmo or, you
it's
know,
it's easier. And it's also for tax purposes. You can use it in whatever different ways.
Right.
The thing that's funny is, like, I remember giving him crap off the air because he was like, oh, I got to send my check in for my mortgage today. And I was like, what? And he's like, my check for my mortgage? I go, you pay your mortgage with a check?
I got to go pay my mortgage.
Yeah, this was 10 years ago.
Got to get that 3-4 day float.
He goes,
that's right.
He goes, yeah, dude, how else would I pay it? I go, what about auto pay? And he was like, I'm not giving him my bank account information.
I'm not giving you my info.
And I go, you bought a house. They have all your information. And he was against that. Amazon Prime. He's like, I'm not doing Amazon Prime.
I'm not
Prime.
Doing it, dude. I'm not doing Amazon Prime.
There's packages house every day now.
Yeah. My latest holdout is AI. I'm not touching AI. I won't do anything with AI. And I'm sure that will only last 2 years.
Give it a year.
I know. Then I'm going to put my prompts into AI.
The overlords are going to make you do AI.
What's a good sports opinion for today? I need some help.
What's a question that I can ask a PGA club pro playing at the PGA championship today?
Spurs won game 5. How should I feel about this? AI Grok, help me out.
What are the top 3 topics for tomorrow's show? According to my research.
I'll die on hills until that hill goes
away. According to my research, LeBron or MJ? Yeah.
Basket weaving. I don't want to talk about basket weaving.
And the Dallas Cowboys.
What?
Dallas Cowboys.
Different sport, Grok. Help me out here, man. This isn't giving me the insight.
We find out AI is Skip Bayless behind a curtain somewhere.
Jeez, dude, that'd be a nightmare.
So I feel good about that. Like, there's some that I became my parents earlier.
You've kicked
and
a lot
then
of,
outgrown
yes.
some yeah. of the parent, you know, parental habits.
Yeah. Me
mainly
too.
My dad. Not that, those are mainly his old school tactics that he will follow till the day he dies.
Well, the big thing I wanted to kick most of all is like, if I had kids, I was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You accomplished that goal.
That was goal number one.
Goal number one.
But there are in
check the box.
All things aside, like there are little things that are funny from both parents that I've observed where I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I kicked that.
Somebody said if the thermostat starts with a 7, it's someone's ass. 68 or cooler in this house. That's how don't you touch that thermostat.
My wife has become a little bit of that. Like if she puts the AC on, because she's the one doing it now,
yes,
not me. You
yes.
know my stance.
You didn't want to do it.
We're no AC. Yeah.
That's a very parent behavior for you.
Well,
to try and go no AC, just the thought that you could do it. Did it come on yesterday?
Oh yeah, it was on.
Yeah, it was on.
It was hot yesterday afternoon.
It was warm.
Yeah,
that's
so
why the rain
was
so nice.
I held out till noon or 1, and then
it
started getting stuffy, and I'm like, I got to.
Well, so the
on.
Wife is the one that turns this on, and like the kids, if they're going in and out of the house, you know, we have a solid screen door or front screen. I don't even know if it's not a screen door. Hey, what do you call that door?
Is it a screen?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a screen door anymore, though. It's like a legitimate door, but it's a door in front of my door. It's got glass windows in it.
Oh, it's
so
just
I think
a more efficient screen door.
Screen door,
yeah.
Patio door.
Yeah,
more a patio door, call it. Yeah. And the wife just does this. AC on? Like, she says it in a way that she knew that she was the one that put it on.
Somebody left the door open.
Basically,
why is the hot
door,
air coming
even
in?
Even though the door isn't all the way sealing the air, but like it's doing a pretty good job. And I'm like, and I don't even say anything. I just get up and I shut the front door and I sit back down.
I'm your wife in that scenario. My wife will do that all the time of leaving a door open. And I'm like, it's 92 degrees. We got the ACs running right now. Like, why? You realize this is defeating the purpose. It's making them work harder. The whole point of having the ACs on is to seal the cool air inside the house.
Let me ask you this real quick, and then we'll get going.
Yeah.
Do you think you're the harder person to live with in your relationship?
Ooh. Yeah. Probably.
Really?
Probably.
I think I for sure am.
I'm always there because of the hours that we work. Like, I'm always around. There's not a lot of solo time for her unless I'm playing golf. And I think solo time's important in relationships.
Mine's the opposite. My wife works from home.
So she's always home.
And now she's moved her office. She has two offices, one upstairs in our room and one downstairs.
You got to have two.
I don't have a level anymore.
You have no escape.
You got Arnie's.
There's nowhere to go. Arnie's.
I'm in Arnie's for 2 hours a day.
All right, babe. I'll see you later. I'm going to be out in the garage for, the week.
You watching Modern Family? That you're working out. Well, I waited for the pre-workout. Yeah. Kick in.
I just got roped into it. We've all been there. Episode starts 20 minutes later. What am I doing? I thought I was supposed to be working out.
Supposed to be exercising.
It's what's making me cry, man. This is an emotional episode.
Well, good morning. A wet little Wednesday, but we got a great little show for you. Bryce Fisher is the club pro at Arrowhead Golf Course, also the CEO and owner of Arrowhead, and he's playing at the PGA Championship. He's going to join us at 7 a.m.
How cool is that, man? Local guy playing in the PGA Championship.
Can't wait to talk to him. Let's get it going. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this hump day. 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Bryce Fisher at 7 a.m. Club pro out at Arrowhead Golf Course. He won the tournament out at Bandon, so he gets to play in the PGA Championship starting tomorrow. Saw a video. He got to do a practice round with Matthew Fitzpatrick.
That's pretty badass.
He's playing with Tom Hoagie and Joaquin Neiman.
He's got Joaquin Neiman in his group.
What time's he tee off? I didn't see the tee time.
4:14 a.m. Pacific.
Right early.
7:14 local time.
Be playing during the show tomorrow. Everybody's got eyes on Rory's blister.
He had to bow out of his practice
round.
Only
played three holes. He's got his socks and his shoes off out on the course. Uh-oh.
Is it impressive for an athlete to be able to identify like eight other athletes by the way their bodies look performing?
I saw that yesterday from Rory, and it blew my mind.
So they show a top half split screen. One is Rory looking down at a screen, and the other is what Rory's looking at. And it is the silhouette of golfers, and then it's their swing, and he is supposed to guess which golfer is the swing.
Some of them were easier than others. Some of them I would have never guessed.
Like, he nailed Michael Block.
Yes.
Michael Block is one of the silhouettes, and he's like, Michael Block at Tiger Woods.
Like, you played
John
Michael
Rahm.
Block one time. One time he's
one
played
time.
With him. It's not like he's watching Michael Block highlights, but he knew the swing immediately.
The funny thing is, and I know he's watched himself to study and perfect his swing over his whole life, it's just funny how quick he identifies himself, and I'm like, I think I'd be able to identify myself, but I'm not overly confident. I also don't watch film of myself.
You should. That'll help you get some swing tips out of it.
Somebody said it's more impressive that he did that and went perfect than winning the Masters. And I was like, well, that's a bit much, but
that's
also I understand.
He knew Spieth before Spieth even took the club back, too.
Yeah, he
just
did.
By standing over the ball, the silhouette. Oh, that's Spieth.
You know what's
Move
funny?
On to the next one.
He was the easiest one for me to identify.
He was the easiest one?
I was like, that's Spieth.
Rahm's pretty easy, too, because he's got such a short backswing and it's quick through.
Yep.
But some of the other ones, like Michael Block, never would have guessed. Siwoo Kim,
he got Siwoo Kim easily.
How do you know that Siwoo Kim,
that's
dude?
That's pretty good.
I have no idea.
That's not a deep cut for him, but
no.
It is for me.
I think I would have hit about 50% on that. Rory, I could have got. Prime Tiger swing, everybody knows Prime Tiger swing. Spieth, Rahm, but some of the other ones,
I was watching
no
the silhouettes
chance.
To see the foot move from one side to the other, so I go, Scheffler!
Scotty!
That's how I would have identified it.
Scotty Shuffle right there. I see it.
So PGA Championship starts tomorrow. We'll talk with Bryce Fisher coming up here. He'll join us live from Pennsylvania at 7 a.m. Wemby and the Spurs are one game away from advancing. We nailed how that game was going to go. Blowout. And I know that the Wolves came back in the first quarter and cut the deficit.
They did. It felt like it was over 5 minutes in. And you're like, oh, all right, maybe.
I have a weird thing about this. I know the games are tied and they're within four. I never felt like that game was going to stay close.
No.
And it didn't end up being that way. They blew them out by 30 points last night, and they get a comfortable win. Wemby was 27-17, 5-3.
Good luck.
Pretty damn good. You know, my biggest takeaway, everybody keeps, tweeting, this is only year three. it's only his first go around. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Nobody is surprised that Wimby's great, right? To me, the scariest part isn't him, as even though he's the best player on the team.
Yeah.
The scariest part to me is Carter Bryant gets real minutes for this team. And, oh, by the way, Dylan Harper is playing heavy minutes in big crucial moments.
Yes,
and he's
he is.
Starting to look scary, confident, and calm in him.
Both those guys like 20 years old?
They're 20.
Yeah.
They were one and dones.
Yeah.
So, like, the scary part to
rookie
me...
Rookie season impact players.
It's not Wimby...
What's that like to have guys make an impact as a rookie?
Castle, obviously, we know how awesome he is. It's seeing Dylan Harper. We saw him take over game 3 in the comeback. And then last night, he has these moments where I'm just watching him operate. I'm like, this is nuts. This is what this is going to be now? What's it going to be in 3 years? What's it going to be in 4 years if he stays healthy?
It's also going to allow them maybe in a year or two to move on from De'Aaron Fox and get something in return for him because their long-term backcourt will be Harper and Castle.
They're the Thunder 2.0 with a scarier player.
Yes, and then you got Wemby anchoring the paint and doing everything, all the dirty work defensively, and somehow making three-point shots at 8'2", which doesn't really compute in your head. I'm with you, though, last night. Like, the game, early, it felt like San Antonio was going to run away with it. Minnesota fought back a little bit. And then the same thing happened out of the third quarter. Minnesota starts on this 14-2 run. You're like, oh, all right, tie game, here we go. And then you look up and it's all of a sudden I've walked out of the room and walked back into the room and San Antonio is up by 15 again. Immediately after that, you're like, all right, now this game is officially over. They hung around for as long as they could. That had San Antonio blot written all over it. The way that they lost game 4, Wemby getting ejected, you knew that he was going to come with a big effort. And that just, I've now gotten the point. You got to hope that Minnesota can push them. And, hey, maybe they shock everybody and win game 6. It feels like we're just waiting to advance to the next round now. Let's get it over with. Give me the heavyweight fight, OKC, San Antonio. As much as I hate both teams, I can acknowledge it's going to be an incredible theater of a series.
We've had listeners tag us the last couple days. And I know that I said it on, today's Wednesday? I think I said it on Monday's show. Like, we haven't really talked about the Blazer stuff, and Orem keeps pumping out articles about them moving, and now he's mad that people are aggregating his article, and I'm like, dude.
You see what Polymarket said? How do we not lead the show with that today? The most accurate news source out there.
That's how I do my shows, what Polymarket's
telling me. What is Polymarket tweeting out?
Well, but I know Blazer fans have been tagging us. Are you guys going to bring him on? I'm like, I personally, we've already talked about this topic. I don't know what you want me to add to it. Oh, there's more fear-mongering. The city's run by incompetent people. But what I would say is there's a sliver of me that's like, good, take them, get them out of here. I want nothing to do with this team. We're not competing against the Thunder. We're not competing against the Spurs.
Nothing's happening in the next 5 years, no matter what.
Move to the East. You know, go to Kansas City and be an Eastern Conference team. I'll never pay attention to you again.
All of a sudden, my idea about trading high on Deddy and Kamara and getting 9 more draft picks this offseason, isn't that crazy, isn't it? Let's plan for the next iteration of the Western Conference to be able to compete with whoever that super team becomes.
What if we traded the team for a hockey and baseball situation?
I would do that in a heartbeat.
You would?
I would, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know
I
that pisses
joking.
A lot of people off, but I would. To give me 2 pro sports?
2 pro sports.
2 pro
to go
sports?
Year round, so then you, or not year round fully, but you would get
your
winter fill.
Yeah, it would be year round.
And then you would get.
No,
the
they
summer.
Would wrap. They overlap on both sides.
Yeah, it'd be.
Yeah.
I would do it.
God.
You're
such a white.
It's also easier to win in those sports than it is in the NBA.
It's easier to be competitive. It certainly feels that way.
My entire life thing, okay? Like, we go back to this idea of the Jailblazers of, like, how many times in our adult life have you had actual hope?
Well, this is
It's very rarely happening in the NBA.
This is why I said, Dirt, like, I'm genuinely interested. I don't know how you're Cronin, you're building this of, like, that.
Yeah, it's back to where we were with the Dame era, and it was the Kevin Durant,
Steph Curry,
and Klay Thompson, Warriors in your
but
way.
There's
and
it was two
like,
of them.
No matter what you do, you're not going to be better than them.
And I'm not saying, like, again, I'm not going to the 10-year thing.
No.
I'm not one of those. But, like, let's just go into next year.
Right. Nothing's changing
What's
next year.
What's the best-case scenario for us next year?
You make a move in the offseason that gets you a good piece in return, and you're a 5 seed or a 4 seed.
And you get out of the first round?
And you get out of the first round.
Push it to, like, 6? I don't even know how to set expectations in the Western Conference anymore for the franchise.
Right. Because you just don't know what everybody else is going to look like,
right,
too. That's the other thing. Like, we're just harping on 2 teams, and this is the point of the lottery that I brought up on Monday's show of, like, this stuff changes quickly. Like, Dallas immediately with Cooper Flagg, and then maybe who knows what they add at 9 and what they do with the offseason. They're going to have Kyrie back. Like, Dallas is going to be a player next year.
Utah could be pretty good next year.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Might get Darren Peterson.
They have the second overall pick in the draft. Like, yeah. They have good fundamental pieces on their roster that they could go from being a lottery team to a playoff team immediately next year.
Yeah.
That's not counting what the Lakers might do. The Nuggets aren't going anywhere. It's a gauntlet right now, and it's hard to find a way. Unless there's that big fish out there. Like, Trey Murphy's a nice player. I don't think Trey Murphy's putting you from the 7 seed to a 3 seed and making it to the conference finals. And nor does that necessarily need to be the goal, but it is a demoralizing feeling looking at the next handful of years in the West.
That's why you need a Giannis trade. You need a Jaylen Brown trade. And it's not an anti-Trey Murphy thing. I think Trey Murphy's a good player. But if that's the move you make this summer, that's going to be like, oh.
All right. 7 seed to a 6 seed, baby.
All right. We're going to be a 5 seed
Can
next
we win
year.
2 games in the first round next
That's like,
year?
Baby steps. I get they were the most hurt team in the NBA. They also have had, in back-to-back years, the easiest second-half schedule of all the teams in the association. Is that going to keep on happening?
Probably not. I don't think the tanking will continue with this level in the NBA anymore.
So, like,
because there's not the same incentive to be one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the league.
This whole, like, well, it started last year, guys. I'm like, well, did it? Or did their schedule clear up again for them to make a second-half push and get to the 7 seed? When Golden State was injured and not very good, and the Clippers kind of just fell on their face. Like, I'm kind of split of, I give them credit. I'm certainly not saying it wasn't a successful season. It's more like, yeah, but I'm not one that thinks this success is going to roll over into an even better success next year.
No, there's nothing guaranteed in that league.
And when I watch that team, and I'm legitimately seeing Wimby do what Wimby does, and Castle be Castle, and Fox be Fox, and I'm like, hey, guys, Dylan Harper, who nobody's talking about, he's emerged, and he's confident on the playoff stage in the second round.
He looks like such a good player,
that
man.
Move he put on DeSomo, where he went behind his back, drove the lane, and then just yammed it with the left, and then flexed, and I'm like, cool, he's 19 years old.
He single-handedly won them a game on the road in Portland in the playoffs.
Yes, he outperformed our guy.
Who are in year 4 or year 3 and year 4.
Danny says he's him. Denny is him. Yeah, Dylan Harper out-hymned him.
Yeah, as a 19-year-old.
Like, that's what they got there. And I'm just, it's so, like, hard to watch this. And I think they're a really fun team. I like them. I'm not you. But, damn it, I'm like, oh, dude, they're going to be in our way next year in a big, big way.
Next year and the year after. And not 5, not 6, not 7.
Not that age, huh?
Not 8.
Did he get 7 and 8? I don't think so.
They're not going anywhere.
It can be over in that league in a matter of 4 years.
Our only hope is that Wemby's legs snap in half. That's all we got going for us. Let's all root for that to happen. 1, 2, 3.
You know what? That's a good thing to say. The Thunder still exists.
The Thunder are still there,
and they've
too.
Got like 15 guys that are capable of leading and winning. So
Well, other than that, things are going great
Things are going great, man. City leaders hate our team.
Our team's
going
to leave, and we have no hope of winning anything anytime soon.
It's fantastic.
So that's pretty. But we got Dame coming back next year, though.
Ah, smells like a great hump day, doesn't it? Don't you just have it in the air?
That's how you encourage everybody.
Big whiff of us.
It's raining out there. Everybody's down and bummed out. Way to go, bummer, Brandon. God, just pooping everybody's Cheerios today.
It's all my fault. Bryce Fisher coming up at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sarig. We're back with more 6:39 on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We'll talk with club pro at Arrowhead, Bryce Fisher.
Is that a burp over there? I hear a burp.
I had to hold one in, That was tough.
I think that made a sound.
I think it did as well.
It was
more like a humming sound.
Yeah.
Like a weird frog humming sound.
An internal burp.
Well, it's tough. You'd eat breakfast at like 4:45 a.m. and
then
you're drinking espresso.
Let them fly, man.
I'm trying to hold it in, man.
I have those parent moments. Those are some of the proudest I have. The wife's not a huge fan of it, but when I fart now, the kid laughs, and it's makes it all worth it. Makes it all worth it. Yeah, I had to go in. He was having
Your
a hard
poor
time.
Wife.
He was having a hard time falling asleep last
She's
night.
She's me in a different house. She's outnumbered.
gave me the rub my back. I can't go to sleep. I'm like, all right, I'll come in and rub your back. And I'm leaning over his crib, rubbing his back. And I'm not kidding you. I let like a 9-second fart go. One of those, like, I'm trying to hold it in. I don't want it to be loud because he's trying to go to sleep. And then it ends up being like the slow burn fart. It's like a pop, 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 pop. And it went on for 9 seconds. And then we were both quiet for a second or two. And then he just started laughing and said, "Dada fart." You're right, but it's right. A fart. part of it.
The best moments of your life.
Yeah, those are it. Makes it all worth it.
Good news yesterday, the big dumper got out of the big slumper.
He did.
He went 2-for-4 yesterday in a rout of the Astros. No home runs, no RBIs, but he at least got two hits.
I love the stitchiness of baseball players.
Yeah, it was insane what came out about him.
He took after they didn't get it. He had not had a hit. What was the day?
He was 0-36, right?
Yeah. April 27th was the last time he had a hit. It is. Yesterday
it's
was May 12th.
It's mid-May.
The month's almost gone.
It's over 2 weeks.
So he goes after the game on Monday, another hitless night, and I guess Logan Gilbert told him to shower with his jersey on to wash the mojo off and make the baseball gods happy.
Yeah, the so uni shower.
So he went in after the game Monday, jumped in the shower, full uniform, washed all of the stank off, and then came out with two hits last night. He said it worked.
Now, does he shower again when he gets home? Because that's not a real shower.
I think you do, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure you do when you get
this
home.
That's a baseball god shower.
Yeah.
There's a real shower that happens
after once you get home, once you are no longer at the ballpark.
Because catchers are.
Then you're just.
They're actually sweating.
They're nasty.
Ones doing the most work on a night-by-night basis.
In Houston, I don't know if he caught on Monday every DH. I'm assuming he caught. Like, yeah, man, that's you're not smelling great after that.
So that I saw that
mask
yesterday.
On your face the entire game, too.
I just love the idea that the newspaper probably had the big dumper gets out of the big slumper. That's just a great headline.
Did anybody have that headline? They had to have. That's
I don't
phenomenal.
Know. I didn't.
It's great work right there. They should hire you.
Well, it's not like a very hard thing to do. It rhymes. What I mean?
That's perfect. I wouldn't have thought of it.
I'll check the Seattle Times and see if they
see what their headline was.
Did you see the Portland Fire got their first win last night?
I did, man. That was cool. I didn't know. I forgot that they were playing, and then I saw the highlights of Sabrina walking around courtside. I'm like, that's right. There's a game on tonight. And then the hockey game got a little there was only one on. The basketball game ended relatively early, and so I put it on the quad box late in the evening. And ended up seeing the ending of it. I figured they were going to get killed because everybody tells me the Liberty are good. I didn't realize they were missing so many players.
Yeah.
And it kept me around for most of the night. And kind of a funny game winner because that first game-winning attempt was such a horrendous shot that it turned into a perfect offensive rebound.
That was their best player in the game shooting the shot as she's fading away.
She was the leading scorer in the game, too.
I know. She had a phenomenal night. Cracked up because it went off the side of the backboard, and then it was, hey, I'm right here, layup, and then pandemonium.
So Sarah Ashley Barker is the one that gets the putback layup as the horn. I love the coach's reaction. Sarama started storming the court, jumping up and down, too.
It was a big old dog pile there on the baseline.
We don't know how many games we're going to win this year. They're probably not going to be very good. You enjoy every single one.
So I watch a little bit of the post game with Krupke.
Our guy, Nick Krupke.
And look, questions are questions. Nobody's perfect. I loved the,
ooh,
what were you thinking on the shot and that play? And I just love asking the shooter that question because it had to have been, I wanted to make it and I missed it horrendously and that went our way.
What was going through your mind right there?
There's no scenario where that was done anywhere close to perfect or on purpose because she almost hits the side of the backboard.
Yeah,
it was
such
miss.
A bad miss,
yes,
and we just luckily got the ball and put it up as the horn expired.
Well, and it's a little bit different too, like the shot attempt in a tie game or if you're trailing. Like tie game, there's
less
to
you just
lose.
Want to make
like,
sure
get
you
a look off.
Yeah, like, you don't leave any time for the opponent to possibly score.
Get a look off, and then you just happen to have a teammate standing right there.
Yeah,
here was the idea: we're going to throw it off the side of the backboard. One of our teammates is going to run down underneath, grab that offensive rebound.
That's a great play design if he can execute it.
It's brilliant. Everybody tells me this new coach is the next guru of coaching, so maybe he saw that one and drew it up on the whiteboard. The attendance was awesome. The atmosphere was awesome. Look, it is the easiest opinion of all time. We knew this the second they announced it. They're going to kill. Like the support, it's going to be amazing.
Argue they already have.
Yes, the two game. I mean, they set a WNBA record for attendance, and then you always wonder, like, all right, that's a game one. That was on was that Friday night or Saturday night? So it's
Saturday
a
night.
Now you're going to a Tuesday a little bit later, and the crowd. I don't know if they sold out, but it looked like it on TV.
I think this first week, I mean, you were getting the Liberty. I know there was a lot of hope that Sabrina Ionescu and Satu Sabali were both going to play. It's disappointing.
You know, most people that bought those tickets thought it was going to be Sabrina.
That was cool. She was walking around in a Duck sweatshirt at least. And Kelly Graves was in attendance, gave her a big hug. So that was cool. But bummer she's not playing.
I'm with you there. I think the attendance is going to largely stay pretty consistent and good. It's year one, even if their record's not very good.
I'm curious, second half of the season, we get in July and August. We're in the summer weather.
Yeah, vacation season kicks in for
families
and stuff.
If the losses pile up.
I mean, I still think you're going to get like 15 to 16,000 at a game.
I still think the numbers will be good. And I think the hope is there.
You don't think they will?
I'm curious to see.
It's year one.
I think the honeymoon phase lasts a year.
It lasts
no matter what the record is. And I think if you get bad in the second half of the year, the ticket price, because I don't know, I haven't looked to buy tickets. I don't know if you guys have.
I would take advantage of, I did look for game one.
When they're, I'm assuming they're pretty spending.
What I don't have a good feel for is their season ticket base or like people that bought in for like at least half a season or something.
Is it
10,000 of it? Is it 5,000 of it? I don't have a good feel.
They got a pretty good amount of season ticket purchases when they announced they were
doing
this.
I would assume. Right. And if you suck in the second half of the year, where are those ticket prices going to go?
Yeah.
So then there's some people who look at it and say, well, I don't want to, I'm not spending X, Y, and Z to go to a game early in the year. Well, guess what? That's like if you're a Duck fan, guess what game you're going to go to if you can't afford it?
Portland State.
And you're going to have a great time and watch them kick the crap out of the Vikings and say you went to a Duck game.
I largely just view it as like, I'm just glad we have something to do in the summertime if you want to go to a sporting event here locally.
Absolutely.
Not that you can't go to like the
Hops and the Pickles and there's baseball games
and
stuff.
And the Timbers, right?
And the
Thorns have matches, but the World Cup's going to kind of interrupt that when it starts. But
it's nice to have extra options. And in soccer, I feel like it's like one game every two. I mean, I know they play more often than that, but then they go on the road. So there's not that many home games and they're spaced out pretty widely.
Did you see, I don't know what his, I think it's Tyrone Johnson is his name. He hosts on the Craig Carton show in New York. Did you see his hot take about the WNBA?
I did not. What did he say?
He said,
I can't wait to see what somebody associated with Craig Carton thinks about the WNBA. I'm sure this will be a sophisticated take.
He said Caitlin Clark is Jeremy Lin.
Okay.
That we're going to find out that this is all just Linsanity, that she's not even that good.
She's, okay.
That she's overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the big take, the big hot take.
I mean, you can make an argument based on the way that she has been propped up over every other female basketball player that she already is overrated.
Her first game
wasn't
very good.
Because she's not won an MVP. Aja Wilson is the best player in the league.
She looked a little rusty in that Wings opener.
To me, it's not just rusty. It's like the three ball thing for her, for whatever reason, in the WNBA has not been what it was at Iowa.
No.
She shoots these bombs, and I just don't have the same confidence it's going in. When she shot them at Iowa, it felt like she made all of them.
Is she in her second year? Second year, right?
Second year.
She was a rookie last year?
No, third year.
That's right, because she missed most of her second year.
That's right. The rookie year she played, second year she was banged up for most of the year, and now this is year three.
She had 20 points on 18 shots. She was 2-9 from three. She had 5 turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And they lost to Paige Beckers.
I'll give her a benefit of the doubt of first game back, first full game. I don't know how much she played in the preseason and all that. Like, the overrated argument's fine because she's not the best. She's not even the best in the league.
No, she's not even the best guard in the league.
No, but the idea that it will be a fad that runs out, I don't necessarily buy that. There's something unique about her, and I think the advertising campaign.
Well, they jumped all over.
They jumped all over it. She's in ads all over the place. Like, go to any NBA or WNBA market and look at the price of the tickets for the Indiana Fever game as compared to every other game.
Yeah,
and it's not even close.
No, I know.
So.
Nice little night for the fire, though.
It was great, dude. It's great. I'm going to try and watch this. Like, I don't always remember when the games are. I should listen to Swag's updates. But whenever I'm around and they're playing in the evening, there's not much else going on. Like, you'll obviously get the main attention, Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoffs and all that right now. But when those are wrapped up.
Last night was a good night for it.
It was perfect,
dude.
The NBA sucked, and I had the NHL game on the other screen, man. It was a nice win.
Loaded second hour. We're going to kick it off with a fun local story. Bryce Fisher won the Bandon Dunes tournament, which got him into the PGA Championship. He's a club pro out at Arrowhead. He's going to join us live from Pennsylvania to give us the idea of what it's like to go from being in Arrowhead to a PGA Championship. Hour two, Bryce Fisher joins us, 105.1 The Fan.